You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
Reaching in and looking at self, and we're talking about reaching out with others. And so you can see real with God is reaching up. Reaching in is real with self, and reaching out is real with others. And as I've been processing through this, I've really been thinking that there's so much baggage in the gospel. And there's so much baggage in Christianity that's not Christianity, that's not the gospel, that's added stuff on. And I feel like constantly as your pastor, I'm trying to cut things away and push things away and continually ask you the question, who told you that? Did you find that in Scripture? Or did somebody else tell you that and you don't even know where it came from? And so we jump in today again into the gospel. And for some of us, this is going to be the first time you've heard the gospel this way and you've been in church your whole life. But before I jump into it and I prep it, my hope and my response and your response would be to reach up to God. That's the whole sermon. I'm giving you guys the end. I'm giving you guys the application that you would reach up. And there's times when people are, maybe you're in here and you're watching us in worship service and you see somebody put their hands up in the air. Like, what are they doing? Touchdown. No, it's not. I know NFL season is starting, but the hands going up in the air is symbolizing reaching up to God. And we have some amazing parents in this room. We've got some amazing moms, and we've got some hilarious kids. And so I'm not going to speak about these moms and these kids. I'm going to talk about my experience of living in Southern California for many years, and one of the things that I'd love to do was to go to Disneyland. And I'd love to go to Disneyland because it was not the happiest place on earth. It was the place where parents and children went to go to battle, right? But there were some beautiful moments when I would be in Disneyland and I would people watch and I would pay attention to things that were going on. There would be sweet moments where you would see a tiny child just kind of stop for a moment and realize their little legs were so tired. They had walked so far. It had been like 10 feet. And they would stop and they would pause and they would look usually at mom, not dad. And they would go like this. Right? Now follow with me for a moment. This kid has a good attitude. This kid is looking at mom and smiling. Kid isn't yelling at mom for food. This kid isn't throwing a tantrum. This kid has just stopped and turned to mom and gone, hands up, cute little smile. What would a horrible mother do? Right? No! I don't know who wouldn't pick up that kid, right? I mean, as a stranger, you're walking by, it's not even your kid. You're like, I'll pick that kid up. I mean, you're like, absolutely. And a lot of times in life, when we reach up, when we put our hands in the air, we're communicating, I want to be held. I want to be picked up from where I'm at. I need my location to change. And I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be in relationship with you. And that's what I want you guys to grab of what the gospel is about. And I'm going to talk more on the gospel, but I'm going to keep giving it to you. The gospel simply is this. It's a proclamation. It's a statement. It's a herald that would go out across all the earth to proclaim that something has happened. In America, every 4 years, after the election cycle, a gospel goes out, a proclamation goes out, and it says this candidate won the President of the United States position and office. And then we have dumb people who say, well, it's not my president. Yes, it is. It is your president. Proclamation has gone out. I don't care whether it was 8 years ago or 12 years ago when it came out and you didn't like the president. Okay? Or maybe it was 20 years ago and you didn't like the president. Or maybe it was 28 years ago and you didn't like the president. However that works, it doesn't matter. The proclamation went out and you're not changing it. And a proclamation has gone out that says that a man came to this earth and lived a life and walked and taught and did miracles publicly in front of everybody else. By the way, that separates us from a lot of religions. All the other religions, one person went and had a private conversation and nobody else got to witness it. This person comes out and tells it, except the gospel story of Jesus is he's walking around and hundreds of thousands of people are witnessing what he's doing. And the gospel is that God sent his son down and his son lived a life, a perfect life, very important, perfect life. Later on, when we talk about Real with Self in a couple weeks, as we go into Why Real, I'm going to bring a glass of water out here. And I'm going to lie to you and I'm going to tell you it's perfectly pure water. And we all know there's no such thing as perfectly pure water. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to say this is perfectly pure water. And this is what it takes to be pure in front of God. And this is what you want. And I'm going to take some food coloring and I'm going to drop into the water. And I'm going to say this is sin. This is when you lied. This is when you cheated. This is when you broke relationship with someone else. And what's going to happen to the water? It's going to get dirty. And in order for us to have relationship with God, we can't be dirty. Now we have this argument, especially in America. I'm a good person. Yeah, but you're not good enough. You're not perfect. Well, I haven't murdered anybody. Yeah, but you cheat on your taxes every year. You're a cheater. You steal. Well, that's not like a really bad thing. No, it's just a little bit into the water. And what? The water's not perfect anymore. Just a little bit. Not perfect anymore. And the gospel is that a man came and lived a life that was perfect and pure. And that man was beaten. That man was rejected. And that man was put up and put to death. And because of that death, because of that sacrifice, your dirty glass of water is exchanged. At the end of your life, if you decide that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior and you will follow him as best you can, and guess what? You're imperfect. You're going to mess up. Welcome to Real Church. When it comes to the end day, when your life is over, you have taken your last breath and you leave here and you go into eternity, you're going to meet God Almighty. And your cup, I have my McDonald's sweet tea. Isn't that a perfect example? Your cup is going to be set down. And Jesus is going to go, no. Hold on, Dad. Hold on, Father. This cup doesn't count on this one. Let me put my cup in place of Nathan's. And oh, I'm going to be so thankful. Because there's not anything I can do in me, in my work, in my effort to clean up my mess. Have you ever been there? Have you ever created such a mess that you actually had to humble yourself and go find somebody else to help you clean it up? You've done that in your work life. You've done that in relationships. You've done that with a project that you tried to start and you just destroyed it. I love doing that with my car. I like to work on my car knowing that I can ultimately still take it to a mechanic. I can mess it up massively, still pay the same price. The gospel message has come out that says your cup can be exchanged. Somebody else can stand in your place. That's the gospel. But we've changed it. We've changed the gospel to all these rules. All these things you have to do. No. It's about relationship. And this is what I want you guys to understand is when you come to faith in Jesus and you come into relationship, there are things that you just want to do because you love him. So what is the gospel? It's the good news that you can be saved from God's judgment through Jesus. That's the gospel. You can be saved from God's wrath because of Jesus. Think of that for a moment, how wonderful that is. Again, if perfection is the only thing that can save you, and every one of us in this room is not anywhere close to perfect. And if you think you are, well, you have another self problem of understanding who you are. You are a liar. You lie deeply to yourself. You can't look in the mirror and admit what's really going on. But if people in this room, the relationships I know in this room, that's not who's in this room. This room, you guys are very aware of who you are. You're very self-aware. Some of you guys work really hard on changing who you are. And some of you guys work really hard at just admitting, dang, I tried really hard and it didn't work. Why? Because you're not perfect. And ultimately, it's Jesus that saves us from the judgment. Now, here's four questions we've got to ask, okay? When we come into the gospel, we come into reaching up, when we come in, there's some things we got to figure out. We got to figure out who made us and who are we accountable to. Now, for people who don't believe that there's a God and they don't believe that God created the earth and the world, then they have no accountability. You have no responsibility to anybody. You can live whatever life you want to live and you can go do whatever you want to do. That's why atheism is extremely attractive. You have no responsibility to your fellow man, to your fellow human. If there was just a big bang and all of a sudden a trillion, 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 trillion things had to go right for a long, long, long time to get us to here, and there is no creator, then let me tell you something right now. Laws are ridiculous and stupid. If you're strong and you can take something from somebody else, go do it. Morality does not exist. It is a lie. It is a fabricated falsity by somebody who wants to control you. But if there is a creator, by the way, I've never heard of nothing making something, which totally destroys the Big Bang theory in my head, as well, a bunch of gases got together. Simple question, who made those gases? Well, those gases came from somewhere else. Sweet, where did they come from and who made them there? Well, Amazon shipped them to our universe. Prime, one-day delivery, right? We're getting fast. Who made us and whom are we accountable to? If God Almighty made you and he is the creator, then you have a responsibility to your creator. And I believe that's one of the greatest things that holds our fabric and our society together, that even if people don't believe in God, there's something naturally that's built inside of you that believes in morality and caring for your fellow people. It's in there. You really think evolution put that in there by mistake? No, that is in there because God put it in you and you are a reflection of him and he cares about people and so do you. Next one, what is our problem? Now, that's kind of funny. I mean, you're like, you know, you usually say, what's your problem? I'm saying, what's our problem? Can we agree that just in Chicago, we've got a lot of problems? Can we agree that the amount of people who are shooting each other and killing each other is not okay? Can we agree that the amount of senior citizens that are being robbed of money by other people, it's not okay? Can we agree that our politicians who spend massive amounts of money, who want even more money, are not spending it correctly and there's a problem? Can we agree that there is a systemic racist problem in Chicago where redlining happens consistently and constantly and has been going on for the last 70 years in this city that makes sure that the have-nots can't have? That when an African-American community starts to rise up and starts to get power and they're going to elect an alderman so they can have representation inside of the city council, the districts are redrawn. And an Irish gentleman who's already going to get his ward elected, he now has 20% of that African-American neighborhood. And those African-Americans can't speak up. Can we say we have a problem? Last week, I argued with you the entire sermon and you guys hated me. I called you poor, and you didn't like that I called you poor. And what I was trying to say is you have more in common with the least of these than you do with the millionaires and the billionaires. You're not with that club. I don't care if you make $300,000 a year. You're not there. And why are you not there? My argument was if someone can come along and take something from you, and there is no rescue, and there is no having things made right, you're in the poor group. Because the rich come to the poor and they take what they want and they do what they want when they want it. But then the rich lie to you. And the rich say, no, you're middle class. You're above the poor. No, you're not. You're just upper poor. That's what you are. That's what I am. I'm upper poor. Maybe I'm middle poor. But if somebody comes and wrongs me in my house, do you know what I get to do? Have a really bad attitude. That's all I got. Well, you say, call the police. There's some great police officers, but what really happens? Police show up and go, hey, we can't figure that out. We got a lot of things going on today. Am I rich or am I poor? Because if I'm rich and the police show up and they can't figure out what's going to happen, heads roll, people get fired. Am I rich? I'm not rich. You guys following me? I love Rocky's clothes, but I am rich because of the name that I carry. My name is Nathan Brown Jesus Christ, the third. Not the third. Like a 3 millionth, 3 billionth. Awesome. We have problems, don't we? How many of you guys have problems inside? You get a bad attitude. You start to worry. You get angry. You get envious. You start to compare. How many of you guys check out? You just check out. You numb. How many of you guys have problems because you feel like somehow you haven't gotten your best life now and someone has robbed something of you and you are so upset, you are so bitter, you are so angry? Can you admit that you have problems? You see, the problem with most humans is they can't get to the humble spot of admitting, I need you, God. They're the little kid in Disneyland throwing the tantrum. I can walk on my own to Space Mountain. No, you can't. You're not going to make it all day. Get in the stroller. Some of us need to be humble and get in the stroller. Third question. What is God's solution to the problems that we have? And the answer is simple. Jesus. Let me give you, I've said this before. Can you guys imagine just for 1 second, just 1 second? My cousin, he hates Christians. But he loves me. He knows I'm a pastor. And so it's this really interesting, awkward thing. And he posted a picture on Facebook that said the alternate Jesus movement. Hate the alien. Be racist. Judge people. Throw rocks. And just kept listing. And I just wrote, ouch, on Facebook. And here's the problem. We have a lot of people walking around claiming Christ, but not living for Christ. We have a lot of people saying, I'm a Christ follower, and you're more of a Christ-aware person. We get people who get on television, and they want to present themselves. And oh, by the way, we've already talked about it in culture. Media is going to go find that one idiot Christian I never want on TV. And they're going to put that person on TV. They don't come to us and let us vote for who gets to speak for us. They find the person who's going to say something stupid that fits their agenda. I just wrote, ouch. That's a tough critique. I didn't write the rest of my answer because it's not going to be accepted on Facebook. I just wrote, ouch. But what is the solution to that problem? What if the Holy Spirit dropped on Chicago and started moving? Okay, if you guys have ever read the history books, it's happened. They're called the Great Awakenings. It's happened in Europe. It's happened in America. It's happened in China. It's happened in South America. And societies change. Is it going to be a new alderman? Is it going to be a new tax on sugar? Don't even get me started there. But I'm letting you guys know right now, I am ending diabetes by paying this tax because I'm paying it a lot of it. Diabetes is going to be gone next year. Okay? Nah, Cook County just needed more money, and that's what they chose. They chose to tax the poor. That's what they chose. They chose to tax the poor who like drinking more sugary sodas. You know the rich really don't drink that many sugary sodas? Yeah, sit there again. Are you poor or are you rich? Are you being taxed more? The solution to the problem is Jesus. So how do I, right here, right now, how do you, right here, right now, how do you come to be included in that salvation? How is Jesus is a solution the good news for you? How is Jesus' solution the good news for you in your marriage, good news in your parenting, good news in your work, good news in your health, How is Jesus is a solution good news? Point number one, reach up to connect in relationship out of need and love. Remember that little kid I was talking about? Reaching up out of need and I love you. I want to be held by you. I need your help. You're bigger than me. I need you. When was the last time you reached up and you said to God, you're bigger than me. I need you. Are you the one that only comes to God when it's just a special moment? Right? I learned a long time ago in my marriage, if I wanted to have a good marriage, I wouldn't wait just for date night to be nice to my wife. I learned early on in marriage that sex starts in the kitchen. And you guys think, what? It's really simple. Don't say something stupid in the kitchen. Yeah, write that down, men. Okay? Or in the hallway, or in the TV room, or in the car, the garage, the backyard. It's about spending time and developing relationship. In Matthew 14, 22 through 33, it's a wonderful story that God just really just blew my mind on. And let me read it to you. You guys know this story. I've used this story, but I'm using it a little bit differently today. Follow along with me, okay? In Matthew 14, 22 through 33. And I'm not going to teach the passage. I'm just going to read through it, and then I'm going to share some things with you, okay? Because immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go out before him to the other side, and he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, this is Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. You guys have heard me tell the story. The disciples get in the boat, they row out, they're told to go a certain direction. That's where they're supposed to go. And Jesus is up on the mountain and he's watching them. And I've told you guys that this lake is not a massively huge lake that you can see from one side of the lake to the other side of the lake. So Jesus sitting up on the hill, he can see them right down in the lake trying to get where they're trying to go. But the wind is blowing against them and the waves are coming up against them. And in the fourth watch, which is 3 a.m. in the morning, he came to them. Jesus comes to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And there's another passage, another gospel that says the same story. And it says that Jesus had planned to walk by them. So first of all, you got to start setting some things up in the story. How close does Jesus walk to the boat? How close is Jesus to the boat? It's very important when you read the story. You've got to figure out what you're starting to put into the story. This is what I think. I think Jesus is probably about 100 yards away from the boat. I think Jesus is far enough out that the disciples can't make out who he is and they think he's a ghost. Because if Jesus was 5 feet from the boat and they were looking at Jesus and they said he was a ghost, they're a bunch of idiots, big time, right? So Jesus has got to be pretty far, right? And they were terrified and they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. So probably 100 yards, you could hear somebody 100 yards off saying, hey, take heart, it's me, don't be afraid. You can hear that. Verse 28, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. Let's stop there for a second. How far did Peter walk on the water? When I was a kid, I thought that Peter was like right over here and Jesus was right over there. And then Peter got out of the boat and Peter walked like 12 feet to Jesus. 12 feet? You think that's a ghost? No, you can tell that's Jesus. How far away was Jesus? How far did Peter walk? How far did Peter go? How long did Peter walk out on the water and keep looking at Jesus? And how long did the other disciples still sitting in the boat watch Peter walk all the way out to Jesus? It's very important for you. Because you can have 5 feet of faith, you can have 20 feet of faith, or you can have 300 feet of faith. You see, Peter walked out on the water all the way to Jesus. Blows my mind. Man, Peter was doing it. He was making it. As a little kid, the way I read the story, because later on we find out that Peter sinks, I thought the story was Peter got out of the boat, he took three steps, lost faith, and sank. But Jesus was like 5 feet from the boat. No. Oh, Jesus is out there. Okay? Let me, guys, it's about time for you, in a few seconds, you're going to start saying amen, because here comes the preaching point, okay? And amen says, man, that's good, I should write that down. That's basically what you're saying, all right? And Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and he walked out on the water and came to Jesus. But when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, that's verse 30, here we go. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. Verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And when those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, let me just retell the story for a second. Peter gets out of the boat. Peter is walking on water and he's looking at Jesus because he's got to figure out where he's going. But when he starts to get close to Jesus, he stops looking at Jesus because he's starting to get to the destination. He's coming close to the destination. And when he gets close to the destination, he starts to lose his focus. And Peter starts to look around and notice the wind and the waves that were going on the whole walk, by the way. And Peter starts to sink and he goes down. And what's Peter's response? What does it say? It said Peter yells out, God, save me. Save me. Now, question. Did Peter go like this? Watch my hands. God, save me. Did he cross his arms? Throw some pride? No, what did Peter do? He reached out and said what? God, save me. When was the last time you reached out? When was the last time you reached up? Maybe today will be the first time. Maybe today will be another time where you finally start to realize that you have done amazing. Hear me, church. Hear me, church. You have done amazing and incredibly spiritually faithful things that have been insane miracles. You have walked on water all the way out to Jesus. You have done incredible things in your life. God has already used you in massive ways. And you get out there and you get close to Jesus. Can we all agree there's times where you lose our focus? Have you lost your focus ever? I've lost my focus. I've been preaching to you guys and have lost my focus in the middle of the sermon. You guys lose your focus while I'm teaching you in the middle. We lose our focus, right? Real church, we can admit that, right? Yeah, some of you guys even know what question I'm asking right now. I know, okay? Get out there. Jesus is there. Lose your focus, and you start looking at the circumstances in your life. Do we have enough money in the bank? My physical health, my relationships, my job. What is the culture and the news media saying? And when we take our eyes off of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is perfect, we start looking at the imperfect and we what? Think. Some of you guys are sinking. Let me give you the solution. Lord, save me. Hands up, not hands crossed. Well, you better save me, God. You're sinking like a rock. Hands up. Lord, save me. And then this part blows my mind too. Okay? And it says, he took hold of him and he said, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You just walked 100 yards out to me. You see all the stuff that you've, dang, I'm so proud of you. Wow. Wow. And you get here and you lose all your courage. And Jesus reaches down and this is not the story. Watch me. And Jesus reaches down and he grabs Peter, who's sinking in the water. And Jesus says, it's not the story. Oh, you of little faith. Ugh, and just drags Peter through the waves back to the boat, right? So like, see, maybe you ever gone water skiing and you still hold on to the tow rope and you lose your skis? He was like, oh, right? And so Peter's just getting grabbed, going through. I can't take you anywhere, Peter, right? No, that's not the story. Peter sinks in. He reaches, he says, God save me. Jesus reaches down, grabs Peter, picks him up, stands with him on the water. Guys, some of you are standing right next to Jesus on the water, and you're still screaming you're going to drown. I've done it. I'm not judging. I've done it. And Jesus is saying, Nathan, I'm holding you. Why don't you have faith that I, God Almighty, can take care of you? And I'm like, no. I am drowning. He's like, look at your feet. Okay? Jesus gets a little bit of attitude. Look at your feet. They're dry. Well, yeah, I get that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but they could be wet. No. Jesus grabs Peter. He says, ah, Peter, you're getting there. You got to grow. You're going to grow. You have little faith. But you know what? We're going to do another miracle, Peter. And here's the part I've never understood when I've read this story. Jesus walked with Peter on the water back to the boat. You can get in, Peter. Nobody has to reach to pull Peter into the boat. It doesn't say, and they pulled Jesus and Peter into the boat. It says they got into the boat like they were at a dock. Some of you guys, where you're at and what God wants to do with you is you've got to reach up. And here's the thing, write this in your notes. You got to give up. I give up to go up. Write this in your notes. You got to give up to go up. Some of you guys, God wants to take you up and you won't give up. You're too prideful. And he's going to let you learn the lesson. You're going to get hit by the wave. You're going to get hit by the wind. He's just waiting for you to go, I can't do this. I need you. Hands up. And he pulls you. He's going to pull you out of the water. He's going to set you up on top. And he's going to walk another miracle in your life with you. You guys hear what I'm trying to say? He's going to do the miracle, not you. When Peter got out of the boat, he wasn't the miracle. When Peter got out of the boat, Jesus said to the water, you hold him up. When Peter walked all the way over to Jesus and Peter stopped looking at Jesus, Jesus said, okay, water, you can do your thing. And Peter cried out, help. Grabbed Peter, said, come here. Comes on up, says, water. Who's going to command change in your life, in your circumstances, with your friendships, your relationships, your work, your bank account, your health? It's not you and me. It is God Almighty. And you have a Jesus, a God that loves you enough that he would pick you up, pull you out, and he'll walk back with you. And he'll put you in the boat. If we have that type of a God, what risks can we take for him? Who's the one keeping you safe each day? Jesus. Who's the one who keeps the earth floating in nothing? Spinning? Jesus. Point number one was reach up and connect in relationship out of need and love. Can you identify your need with God? What do you need from him? And the answer is everything. But you also need his love. You need his comfort. When Peter got pulled up out of the water, Jesus put his arms around him and held him and walked him back. Point number two, God, the gospel says God has healed it all for those who believe in Jesus. Now, this is a little bit of a theological argument, and some of you guys can debate this with me for a second. The truth is, what the Bible says is Jesus healed it all. Healed it all. Then some people say, well, if Jesus healed it all, why do I got to listen to him? Can't everybody go to heaven because Jesus healed it all? Ah. You got to have VIP credentials. You got to be able to get into the VIP lounge. And your name tag is going to have to say Jesus Christ. You guys got it, what I'm trying to say? In other words, the gospel says God has healed it all for those who believe in Jesus. Let's pretend for a second. We all get together. We all put $10 in. And this week we go win Powerball. We win Powerball. And let's say we win $700 million. We pay half of it in taxes. We got $300 million ourselves. and we divvy it up, and we put the money into a lawyer's hand that's an escrow account. And we tell each individual in here that there is an allotted portion of money that the lawyer has for you because you want it, but you got to go pick it up. And you never go pick it up. Is it yours? Think of that for a second. Salvation is available to everybody, but you got to go pick it up. You got to walk in and you got to get it. How do you walk in and get it? Hands up. Jesus, I need you. He's like available on every street corner. Okay? Jesus, I need you. I can't live this life on my own. I thought I was perfect, but I really know I'm not. And if I'm going to be judged on perfection at the end of my life, I'm going to lose. Which means I need you and the gospel to replace that. Here it is. Sin is breaking relationship. Even more, it's rejecting God himself. When I say to people, you have sin in your life, what that means is that you've broken relationship with God. And if in order to be in relationship with God, you have to be perfect, I've already argued that we're not perfect. When you get jealous, when you get envious, when you get lustful, when you get angry, when you worry, when you try to manipulate and control other people, you break relationship. I hope I've covered everybody in this room. I've just simply said we're all sinners. We all break relationship with God. Okay? And when we break relationship with God, we reject our relationship with God. That's the same with me and my marriage with my wife. When I, or if I, chose to break my marital vows, I would be rejecting my relationship with my wife. I would be sinning against my wife. We can understand that from a human standpoint. Cheating, that's not okay. Don't do that. If I steal from my wife, I'm breaking relationship. If I lie to my wife, I'm breaking relationship. That's why I say, no, that outfit doesn't look good. Some of you guys are paying attention. That was pretty funny. No, okay, whatever. No, I say that outfit looks great. Maybe we'll stay in. Okay, I'm just making sure you're listening. Sometimes I just throw jokes out there just to see if you're listening. See if you guys are focused or you're lost again. All right. Sin is breaking relationship even more. It's a rejection of God himself. And the relationship is of king and subject. The relationship between you and God is your king and God's your subject. No, but that's how you try to live it. You think God's your genie. You think he's your maid. God, come in here and clean up this mess. Totally just made it. I'll be back at 5. No, God is not your maid. God is not your cleaning service. God is not Uber. Got an app. I'm going to pray at 5 to 6 o'clock tonight. I'm going to schedule God to show up. There we go. He's going to show up. He's going to speak to me for at least 2 seconds. I might listen or may not. Oh, okay, it's scheduled. No, he's the king and you're the subject, okay? Now, I know some of you guys, you're kind of aggro and you're kind of big and you're like, I don't like my president right now. Let me tell you something right now. Our president of the United States walks through that door with 25 Secret Service people, comes through that door. I'm going to find out how much of a Christian you really are and what you understand about respect and authority really quickly. You can't respect that, you don't respect God. I'm not even interested in listening to you. Here's how I know. Because if you respected God, you would have listened to Rocky's sermon about government. And because God said respect government, you're going to respect them. Because God said, I put people in positions in place over you to govern you. Now, here's the thing that some of you guys don't want to know. I'm going to get all Old Testament on you. If you go O to him, go OT, all right? If I had a hat on, throw it back, okay? The people of Israel got the king they deserved, not the king they needed. Did you hear what I just said? You guys got the president you deserved, not the president you needed. And I'm talking about Obama. Some of you guys think I'm talking about Trump. No. You got the president you deserved, not the president you needed. Oh, now I'm talking about Clinton. Oh, you see, I can just keep going. And what I want you to understand is sometimes you've got to own, oh, we are a bad group of people. If that's our leader, dang it. Make sense? All right? Only Ellis is the one getting the pain in the room, so I'm appreciative of that, all right? Some of you guys, you got to track with me. Point number three. The gospel has redeemed and restored you and raised you up. That's the gospel. The gospel is you were drowning in the water. The gospel is you tried it on your own. You saw the wind and the waves. You started sinking, and God Almighty came to earth and stuck his hand out and said, grab my hand. I've got you. And all it takes is for you to recognize the hand and to reach up. You just got to reach up. Reach up. And let him do what he's going to do. You see, the gospel restores care. Care for your life. Some of you guys, you don't feel loved by God. You don't feel cared for by God because that's you're not letting the gospel come into you. Other stuff has snuck in. And God is comforting you. He's loving you. He has given you breath. He has given you life. You can't leave this earth early and you can't leave this earth late. He has ordained and established your days. He knows you, and he has a plan for your life, and his number one plan is for you to give up your plan for your life. He cares for you. He knows the choices you're going to make are going to hurt you worse than the choices he wants to make for you. He wants to restore authority. The gospel restores authority. The old sinner says, I'm king. The gospel restores that he's king. And the gospel restores that he gets command over his creation. Because he's king, he gets to tell you what to do. We struggle with that, don't we? We struggle with that. I want my dreams. I want my desires. I want my hopes. And God is saying, this is what I have for you. Point number one was reach up and connect in relationship out of need and love. Two was the gospel says that God has healed it all for those who believe in Jesus. Three was the gospel has redeemed and restored you and raised you up. Now, I don't have the testimony that I got into a lot of junk. I don't have the testimony that I was sinking and my life was out of control and I was really making insanely horrible choices and God pulled me out of a pit of my own sin and despair. I don't have that testimony. I came to Christ when I was 8. But I have learned the judgment sin of being a Christian. I have been trained as a Christian all my years to judge people and to put guilt on people because judgment and guilt motivates people, right? I'm really preaching here, so I need some of you guys to listen because we need judgment and guilt to end. The God that pulled my brothers and my sisters out of the pit of their sin can pull me out of the pit of my sin. My job is not to judge you. My job is to be a signpost and point you to places. Now, you may not like that I'm pointing, and you may say, you're judging me. I'm like, no, that's where God says you're supposed to go. Ultimately, it is God's judgment over you that matters, not mine. But I don't want God whooping up on me because I didn't point you where you're supposed to go. So I don't want judgment on me. So don't be upset at me that I'm pointing. I'm just pointing. All I'm doing. I hate that you point. Why do you always bring me back to Jesus? I had somebody say that once to me. I literally did. I literally stopped in the middle of a conversation. The person looked at me and said, can it just not be about God one time? Can we just have fun? I just looked at this person and I was like, I can't be your friend. No. I'm going to point to the hope that I have in Christ. I'm going to point to the gospel. I'm going to point to truth and love. And I'm going to encourage you to be an amazing husband. And I'm going to encourage you to be an amazing father. And if you want me to hang out with you and not encourage you to be an amazing husband and not encourage you to be an amazing father and not encourage you to follow Christ and to trust in Christ and put your faith and hope in there, then we can't hang. We can't do it. Go find some other loser dude to hang with. Okay? I mean, I know this is brutal. You guys talk craft beer all you want. It ain't going to help you. Not going to help your marriage. Well, how hoppy is that? Is it a 7-thing IPA? It ain't helping your marriage at all. You need people around you that will point you to Christ. That's what you need, and that's what I need. 4. I love this one. This one's great. The gospel does not depend on you or me. It doesn't depend on you or me. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. The proclamation happened. Jesus did it. He's available for anybody who wants to reach up. He's available. He's available to every one of you here today. That the stuff right now in your life that you're dealing with, that you're struggling with, that you can't figure out, he literally is, it's like operators are standing by. Jesus is literally looking down. His hands are extended to you. And he's saying, hey, reach up. Reach up to me. You've tried the world. You've tried government. You've tried the book. You've tried the show. You've tried the workout. You've tried kale. It's not helping you. Yeah, I talked about kale. I just did that. We're real church. Kale's not helping any of you. The gospel does not depend on you. It depends on Christ. A couple weeks ago, I was listening to a sermon by Tim Keller. I've talked about him before. Don't worry about it. He just says something insanely brilliant. This guy is more brilliant than I will ever be. This is what he said. Listen to this quote. He says, when you rely on yourself, it's a game you cannot win. Just let that sit. You guys see the other answer too. Just stay at the first one. This week, how often did you rely on yourself? I relied on myself a lot. And I didn't win. When you rely on Jesus, it's a game you cannot lose. Why? Because he won. Jesus won, conquered death, went to the rulers and the powers of authority and mocked them. Broke out of a tomb, told death, you can't hold me. And not only can you not hold me, you cannot hold anybody who claims me as their Savior and Lord. I will take them with me. And some of you guys and some of your friends and some of your family, they're trying to play the game on their own. That's heartbreaking to me. It's heartbreaking to me because it's a game they cannot win. It's a game they can only lose. And some of us, we need to reach up on behalf of some of our family and some of our friends. And we need to say, oh God, help. Oh God, help. I love my neighbors around my house. And I am praying, oh God, help. Hey, I have a neighbor here. Don't tell him. Quiet. You're like, that guy's praying for you. That's why you can't sleep. No. You guys see the beauty of the gospel? I'm so trying to encourage you. I'm so trying to say, many of you guys, God said, get out of the boat. And you did. And God said, walk on water. Come over here to me. And you have. And you got there. And that is insane that you did that. That you had the courage. That you had the hope. That you had the trust. But some of you, you've gotten over here and the wind and the waves are blowing on you and you want to quit. And I want to encourage you as your pastor, don't quit. I want to encourage you, don't stop. I want to encourage you as your pastor, don't do it in your own strength. I want to encourage you as your pastor to reach your hands up and smile. Because there's a God that loves you that's looking down, going, I want to raise you up. And not only that, there's somewhere I want to take you. And it's going to be a miracle where I take you. But you got to have the courage. You got to have the faith. You got to suck up your pride and you just got to go. Hands up. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up. I have no idea what worship song you have planned, but I have a feeling it's going to be one of the ones that our church is going to sing louder than anything else. Here's your application. Please write this down. Please write this down. You need God to forgive your sins and not judge you for them. So why do you need God? You need God to forgive you. Some of you guys think God's just a judging God. No, 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 no. He is an absolutely loving God. And he says, everybody who reaches their hands up to me, not judging you. But those of you who want to do it on your own, in your own power, here comes judgment. Isn't the gospel beautiful? Man, I wish as a student in high school there was a gospel for the SATs because I bombed them. I wish there was somebody else who would have come in and said, oh, Nathan, your test scores are going to be replaced by this brilliant student. Okay, because you put your hands up to the SAT board, you're in. No, 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 this one's more important than grades. This is more important than your finances. This is your eternity. My encouragement is that you do this. So stand with me real quick. I'm going to put my hands up. You guys do whatever you want while I pray. I'm praying for me because I'm selfish and I need it. But my prayer covers you guys too. This is where your pastor's just being real. Maybe you can pray the prayer with me. Here's my prayer. God, help me. You have done so much with me. You have done so much for me. You have called me out to places I could never imagine of even going. God, I have called out that I needed help as a husband because I didn't know how to be a husband, and the manual they gave me didn't have any answers. I've called out as a father. I have no idea how to be a dad, and you have given me amazing love and amazing direction and wisdom. I don't know how to be a friend. I don't know how to be a family member. I don't know how to be a pastor. But God, you have in your faithfulness shown up every single time. And God, I proclaim and I call out that here in Chicago, I feel like the waves and the wind distract me from you. And I just want to put my hands up. God, pick me up. Hold me. Comfort me. And love me. And God, I pray for each person in this church in their own way, wherever they're at, that you would lift them up and that you would hold them and you would comfort them. And God, to all the people that are around us in our lives, in our neighbors, in our families, that God, you would hold them, that you would comfort them, and that you would raise them up. God, we want your love, we want your forgiveness, and we want your gospel for everybody. For your glory and for your kingdom. Amen.